Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to The Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. Let us start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your forgiveness, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that your grace is sufficient. As we come forward today, Father God, we ask you as I deliver the word, Father God, that the ears that are under my voice receive, Father God, power from you, dunamis, Father God, that power, Father God, that only the Holy Spirit can give. Let your word, Father God, go forth and accomplish what has been sent. We thank you, Father God, that I, as the deliverer, decrease and you increase. So, Father God, those, Father God, that hear your word, Father God, will grow, Father God. Their fruits shall grow. And, Father God, be a blessing unto others, Father God, because of the wisdom and the knowledge you impart upon us. For we praise you, we honor you, we thank you as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited again today because we're looking at something really great here. Following God's plan for our life. That's really a tough thing to do since we have the world to give us so many other directions. But God's word is always there to guide us, to be the true light that we need in the midst of a dark world that we are living in these days. Warren Buffett says that someone sitting in the shade today is because someone planted a tree a long time ago. God has already planted that tree for us. Way before we became a reality in this life, he already knew the plans for our life. For the word says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. See, God's word don't return void, but it accomplishes what that has been sent. So no matter what our purpose is in our heart, God's plan will always come to pass when we line up with it. Many times we don't do that. We take off in our life and we leave home after high school or maybe even not even if we don't finish high school because we get distracted. But we go out into the world and we take on some of the world's ways and it leads us down paths that is not conducive to what God's plan is for us. And I know that to be so because myself, I took off right out of high school. I graduated high school pretty young, 16 and a half. So surely I was just a kid thinking I could take on the world and change it. Well, I ran into a lot of challenges through life. And this reminds me of a story that I'm sure everyone is familiar with in the Bible, where we kind of display some of the same attitudes and behaviors that this young man did. It's out of Luke 15:11-32, the prodigal son. Jesus tells the story, and he says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of my estate. So the father divided his property between them. Now, this is something we must know. The father did not debate with the son. He didn't try to convince the son otherwise. He didn't try to do anything to deter this son from going out into the world to execute the plan he had for his life, for the father was wise. And we'll find out later why. Not long after that, the young son got all his things together and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in the wild living, the choices we make. After he had spent everything there was, several famines came in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. See, when we're down and out, you'll find out that your plan and all those people involved during the time, you'll find out what they're really about. Now, we have all experienced that. Friends and family who, when we had it well, we were, as I remember a song he said, I had money in big old stacks. I used to lend them my cologne, and they never brought it back. Now I don't have nothing. I'm all alone. I don't even have someone to call my friend or to call someone my very own. This happens to us in life. But then the son came to his senses, and he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee and heaven. I am no longer, worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. Point that we can look at. Lessons learned. See, life is a good taskmaster. It will give you a reality check. And that son acknowledged that. That son sitting there all alone by the pigsty, and him at the time being Jewish, that was definitely a no-no to be around the swine. But yet he recognized what his father was about. He understood the good life he had with his father. He understood the kind of father he had, who had probably had a better plan for his life. I imagine the father was well-to-do if he could give out something from an estate, and yet the son went out on his own. And that's what we do a lot of times. We step out under God's will. We set our own plans in motion. And a lot of times it's based on the world's concept of what our plans look like, you know, to become rich, to become famous, to get married too soon when we're not mature for it. Various things come about. And so what life does, it brings about all these challenges, and it brings a wake-up call. That's what happened to this young son. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf and kill it. Let's have a feast, a celebration. For this son of mine was dead and is still alive again. He was lost and now he is found. So they began to celebrate. See, this story reminds me of how God feels about us. A lot of times, as I said, we get caught up in the world's concept and we get ourselves drawn into those ideals because they look good. And the power influence, as I spoke about in another session, is really something that can deter you left or right or right or wrong. And if not with the right foundation, the God foundation, being led by the Spirit, we can find ourselves just like that young man, lost. And I know when I was talking to my son one day and I told him, I said, without insulting the people there, but I saw people my age working in restaurants, working at fast food places, and there's no crime to that. But initially, those jobs were designed for teenagers. That would be their first job. But a lot of times what ends up happening is I like to call it default jobs, and I've been there. You have default jobs where you end up in jobs and statuses and positions that is not in line with what God had or his intention, which was his best, because he gave us all gifts and talents to use and to build upon. But again, we get caught up in the world's concept of how to live life. Sometimes it's just a fast life, like the young man did. He just had a fast life. He went out. He had money. He squandered his money. I'm reminded of an entertainer that got caught up in that, MC Hammer. You know, he had the money, he had the fame, he had everything, but not God's plan. And I wouldn't say he squandered. He even went in with a good heart. He went to help his friends. He helped everybody. But then after a few bad choices, I'm sure he hadn't lined up with God's word at that time. I know he's doing it now. At that time, he didn't. So he was living that fast life. And again, when all his money was gone, he was in debt. The world wasn't in his corner. They looked at him like he meant nothing. And sometimes that's what happens when we get out of God's will. But again, now let me share another side of that story. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field. And when he came near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattest calf, because he has him back safe and sound." Now, this didn't sit well with that brother. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Now, he would go plead with the son who had been with him the whole time. But yet, he didn't do that when the initial son, the younger son, went out to do his thing, because he understood that, son, as I said earlier, life can be a good taskmaster. And that father, being wise, knew that life would teach him what sometimes we can't do. And today, we see a lot of that. We see a lot of adults living at home with their parents because they went out into the world and made choices. Maybe they got on drugs, maybe they got, you know, messed up on alcohol or got in bad relationships. And these decisions we all make, I know for sure, I made quite a few bad decisions. I personally don't believe in mistakes in the sense of from decision making. I just call them bad decisions that produce bad outcomes. Then we call them mistakes. But if they work for us, then we're good with it. And sometimes that's not still God's will. But yet the father went to plead with that son. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order." That sounds like the Pharisees and the Sadducees when one man came up and he came in very humble. But the Pharisees say, "At least I don't act like them. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a cheat. I'm not a robber." But Jesus looked over at the man who came with his head bowed down in humility, like the son had to come and exercise humility. Jesus looked and said, "This man gets the real picture. He'll get the real reward." Because sometimes we get a little haughty when we think we're doing everything right. We can be doing everything right seemingly and missing the big picture and doing it all wrong when it comes to God's will for our lives. Yet, he says, "Yet you never gave me even a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you killed the fattest calf for him." And he looked and said, "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." And I wrote this morning about this, as the Spirit gave me that. We can get lost out there in life. We can be out in the wilderness of life, making choices that are leading us down paths that are disastrous. But with God, and this is what this is about, because the Father was God, who had open arms when we made a decision, as I said earlier, to decrease and let him increase in our life, to take God's word and use it to help build upon who we are. For God did not come to us in a way that we could say, "Oh, he was shallow in his giving." God has been giving to us, since the beginning of time. He's always been taking care of us. Even when we think that he's not there, is that old poem saying, when he didn't see the footsteps, he said, "That's when I was carrying you." A lot of times I hear people say, "God is not with me. I don't have any talent. I don't have any skills. I can't do this. I can't do that. And why don't God do this for me? And why don't God, where's God at this time to me?" But God is always there. The first thing is that he gave us the breath of life. So if you're experiencing anything, you know that you're experiencing something because there are lessons to be learned. Because if you have the breath of life, God is already given unto you. He's giving you another opportunity, like the prodigal son, another opportunity to make that change, to turn it around, to recognize that God never leaves us or forsakes us, that God is always there waiting with open arms. To give us his best, the fatted calf, to give us his best, that robe, to give us his best, that ring. And not just in monetary things or tangible things, But he gives us all these other beautiful resources. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us the fruits of the Spirit. And I like to harp on these things because to me, it's not, as I said earlier last week, is that it's not what's in a man, that what goes in a man that defiles, but comes out. But God put something in us that's even greater. He gave us that Holy Spirit. And he told us when we receive the Holy Spirit, we will receive power. So even though the other brother felt that his father was negating him, in reality, he had never left him either. He was supplying his needs. Maybe that older brother, because he was older, had a little more insight, had a little more wisdom. And a lot of times when we look at our young people today, as I hear people say, these young people today, but we all were in their position at some point. We all was those who made these decisions that wasn't so wise. But when we make these decisions and the lessons learned from these decisions, I heard a pastor say, sometimes trouble gives us that wisdom. Because in the midst of that trouble, we stop being on our high horse and we have to depend on God. And through that trouble, it gives us that strength. I've never seen a man build muscle that didn't push no weight. So sometimes in those experiences, yet they may be so harsh. And in every experience, Jesus had those experiences. He lost loved ones. He saw people abused. He saw the hurt and pain. I can imagine the things he experienced in the sense of watching others suffer. But yet he did not ever lose faith with God. So our plan, the question is, are your plans to please the flesh? Are they to fulfill your destiny through the Holy Spirit, which is to fulfill God's will? See, we have to sometimes think about what God's will is. And one of the things he calls us to do as we prepare ourselves, as I always like to go back, knowing thyself, developing thyself, and loving thyself, as we begin to become more strong in who we are, we can go out and feed his sheep and share the good news. That is what we're commissioned to do. And love thy neighbor as thyself. As I mentioned before, we take on this world. We start in behalf of, like the prodigal son, we execute all these plans without God being our true guide, being the one that gives the tour guide, if you will, for our life. But we know now that if we understand that what we want in life, whether woman or man, if we put this in perspective and trust God to give us what we need and not trust ourselves and our looks, our skills, our education, our riches, and our status, because the young man had all that and it didn't work because he was missing the major key factor. He wasn't operating from the plan that God intended for him to have. See, he had moved into that attitude of arrogance and cockiness. And sometimes when we're young, we're like that. And sometimes when we get a little older, we get a little cocky. And we lose sight. As I was listening to one of my elders say one time, as someone was giving her praise, she said, I never want to get too high, become too high horse. I want to maintain humility. I want to keep those praises from man in perspective because it doesn't take much to get into pride. Excuse me. And sometimes we get to the point where we become self-reliant. Like in James, when he talks about, being concerned about tomorrow. For we plan as if we know what tomorrow is going to bring. And yet we have got to come to realize the uncertainties of life and not be one who boasts and brags. So again, we have to take into account, what are we searching for? Are we searching for those things that the world say is pleasing and rewarding and satisfying? And many of us, when we look at other people, we think that is so. But see, Jesus, when he came, he didn't come that way. In Luke 2:49, he said, but why did you research for me, as he was talking to his mother? Did you know I must be about my father's business? Jesus knew at the age of 13 that he was about his father's business, his will, his plan. And then Luke 22:42, he came and he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. See, again, Jesus stayed on the course. Even though the flesh tried to call him out and say, hey, look, I don't want to die. I don't want to go through this. But yet, at the end of the day, Jesus was about making sure that he followed God's plan right on to death. And many of us have not laid down our life to the point of shedding blood like Jesus did, to be able to turn things around in our lives. Sometimes we have to go through some bumps and bruises. We have to go through this journey and take some long, drawn-out trips like the people did 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't follow God's plan. And many of us have done that. Maybe our wilderness is not actually out in the woods, anything of this nature, a desolate land, but our lives feel like that. So then we need to reevaluate our plan that we develop with our God. But we can see that, and I'm sure many of us have contested this in our life. When we try to do our plan without God, we get our results, just like the prodigal son. We have to be careful. Yeah, the results may look good in the interim, but a lot of times it doesn't fall in line. And many people will say, if we looked at people who are rich and famous, well, it looks like they got it going on. But again, looks can be deceiving because we don't know what's going on behind the closed doors, the pain and the suffering they have to go through, and the things they have to do to maintain. Jesus understood that he didn't need to please man. He said that maybe you won't be a hero in your own hometown. And if a town don't receive you, dust your feet off and go to the next, because everybody's not ready. But in that, we understand that trying to please man is always going to hold us back, even when we try to please our own flesh. So when we find ourselves in areas in life that looks like we're throwing our pearls to the swine, as I mentioned, relationships, a lot of people say, where's my soulmate? Well, we have to look at what is God's plan for you. Paul says it's better that you get in a relationship, but at the end of the day, and better to be solo and be able to go forward and execute God's plan. But if you need a relationship, this is something we can pray to God for. But I like to tell people, instead of getting a bad relationship, get into a relationship with God that is a great relationship. Build that relationship with yourself. Build that relationship with God. Prepare yourself. So when it's time for you to meet that soulmate, you don't come to the table with empty hands. I remember a guy named Billy Preston had a song that said, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something if you want to be with me. Well, even with God, we got to bring something to the table. We got to bring our free will. We got to bring our heart. We got to bring our mind. We got to bring everything. Everybody needs to bring, but you can't bring nothing if you don't have nothing. So you have to prepare yourself so you don't get in these bad relationships. With friends, sometimes I see people allowing folks to emotionally blackmail them, get them into situations where they're compromised because they don't know who they are. Again, drifting us out there. And some people can do really well. They become very successful. But like I used the example of MC Hammer, because he had those emotional attachments not lined up with God's emotional attachment, in the end, it took him out to the sea without a paddle. So we have to recognize that it's important not to throw our pearls to the swine, not to get caught up in what the world presents. Or I like to say, the social norms. Because what the social norms bring in most cases doesn't line up with what God wants us to have. We can find ourselves homeless, and not homeless just physically, but spiritually, because we're not connected with God. We don't want to be lost like that. So let's see what the word says when it comes down to really fulfilling our destiny and what God would like for us to do. So the first thing I recommend is that we look at Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So those things that we such so desire from the world, to get approval from the world, to be recognized from the world, to have the things the world say we should have, all these things, we don't have to search for that. Because God will exalt those if you need exalted. God will provide everything you need if it comes down to the physical attributes of life, cars, clothes, things, a roof over your head. God supplies all that. We have to recognize it. As I wrote this morning, if we're out there in the darkness, God will provide a pillar of fire. And if we're walking in the day of the ball of confusion, God will provide the pillar of the clouds to lead us in the direction he wants us to go. In Proverbs 3:5-6, he says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make you straight your path, your plan. I heard someone say, when we make a plan, God laughs. Because here's the deal. See, we can make the plan, but we don't know the unseen. We don't know the things that are uncertain in life. We can say, I'm going to go X way, and we end up another way because we lack that knowledge. But God has it. And through the Holy Spirit, he will give us what we need to be able to be on the right path. I'm reminded of the beautiful story of the Wizard of Oz. And the girl was searching all her little worldly life, if you will, to find that place she called home. And on that yellow brick road, she got distracted many times. But she met some people along the way. Each one brought some with their own insecurities, if you will, characters, I should say. But in the end of the day, what she was looking for was already in her. It was inside of her. And that's the same with us. Everything we need, God has supplied for us, even giving us the Holy Spirit. There's this endless amount of things that God do. For in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. So we don't have to seek power in the world or what society calls power and influence. We seek God. Moses was a little concerned because he said he was not articulate, but he gave him Aaron to appease him. But in the end, Moses was able to rise up from his negativity and see that God, as long as he trusted God, he could part the Red Sea. That's power. And in 2 Timothy, he said, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. As we begin to grow and mature in God and recognize by walking in faith. And I told someone this the other day, you know, we're talking about measure of faith. I say, you know, we really got just enough faith. We have just enough faith in reality of what we really need. Because he said, all we need the faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain. So if you make comparison, and that's what our world does, it's a competitive comparison society. But if you make the comparison, when God said, all you need the faith the size of a mustard seed that it can move a mountain, then that says you have just enough strength, just enough faith to move mighty things. But we have to trust God and believe that. And when we believe that, we can be like many people know in Philippians, where it says, 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. So when Peter and them were doing their miracles, they say, not in my might, but in Christ. See, once we line up with God's plan, he gives us that direction. He gives us that focus. He gives us that knowledge, that wisdom, and that understanding. And he said in his word, in all things, get understanding. I remember Jerry Butler said in the song, ain't understanding mellow? Absolutely, because it gives you that peace. It gives you that peace that passes all understanding, human understanding, because now you're walking in the light of God. You're walking in line with his word, and then he will guide you to what direction you should go. But many of us, we don't take heed of that because the world has influenced us to take acknowledgement to what they're talking about. To be famous, to be successful. And what is success if it's without God? And many people have found that. They have been as rich could get. They've been as famous could get. But at the end of the day, and I know this firsthand just from being in the war zone, many people didn't believe in God. But when the rounds start coming, oh, they seem to generate a little faith. And that's the same thing that happened with many of us. When life started to turn and bring those twists and turns, those challenges that overwhelm us, we begin to look for God. But I say, as the word says, seek ye first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. He will align you with his plan, and as he aligns you with his plan, you will begin to grow, you'll begin to mature, you'll be like the father. You won't have to get worked up about what to do or not to do with your children, with your friends, within your relationships, because as long as you're seeking God and aligning with his plan, you shall be successful, and not by the way the world defines it, but the way that Jesus, when he said he was about his father's business, and he completed that even though he died. That don't look successful, but the plan, the victory was given. The plan was executed, and the victory was won. That's what God will do for us. So again, if I have to say anything in closing, trust in God. Trust his plan. Seek God out. I know in these latter years of my life, I've been searching, I've been looking, and I've tapped into a lot of different beliefs and ideals and philosophies and all kinds of things. But at the end of the day, once I start trusting God, the windows of heaven blessings open up and the plans are being manifested, that I feel I am now truly in God's will for my life and feel this is true success. I thank you for listening. God bless you. I hope this helped. And again, if you don't know God, I tell you to look at the plan of salvation. You know, look to God. Let him know that you're a sinner in this world and that you want to be a part of his plan, his salvation. And he'll receive you just like the Father did with open arms. And from that point on, your life, it won't be without challenges, but it will be successful because you'll have a different kind of peace. You'll have a different kind of comfort like Paul did. Even though God didn't remove the thorn, he said his grace, God's grace was sufficient. And it kept him moving in God's plan right until the end. So I thank you again. God bless you. We'll see you next week. And again, keep fighting the good fight of faith and go out and be a soldier for God and let that spirit move you. In Jesus' name, I praise and honor God for blessing us with his word today. Amen.
In trouble. You need some love and care. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. Go. Soon, he will be back.